Hello, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Sincerely Me. I'm Kari Itiz, and today we are talking about my first fit of feminism. Tell it like it is. Don't be ashamed. Let your conscience be your guide. Now, guys, granted, this is a special episode only because we're putting it up on Friday, as promised. However, we will be up every Monday at 10 p.m. So remember to stay posted each and every Monday. Today, I know it's a bit funny. We went from Born to be Brave to my first fit of feminism, and I struggled a bit with telling you guys the story only because it the logic behind telling you about my beautiful story of how I came into my braveness as a child, into telling you about how I first had to stand up for my beliefs and my thoughts of feminism with my father. And that was a trip, y'all. It was a legit trip. So, where do we begin? We begin at the story of how I grew up in an unconventional household with very conventional parents. Like, it didn't make sense. My parents, remember, they're elderly. They're a lot older than I am, significantly older. My dad is about 45, 46. My mom is 34. And I've just started from scratch, right? So through my life, I grew up as a girl who was exposed to a lot of different things, but was raised to be a girl. So what I mean is, I was raised playing with dolls, but I still did puzzles to become a doctor. I still had action figures. I had dinosaurs that I won in dance competitions. I was exposed to both the girly side of life and the boyish side of life. And this was interesting because my mom and dad, if you speak to them today, in terms of opinion, are very traditional. They have certain opinions about different tribes, as most older parents do. They have certain opinions about the role of the man and the woman. They have certain opinions about how I should carry myself as a girl. However, they made it very clear as I grew up that the options I had were not just restricted to how I was supposed to carry myself. So my mom grew up and was raised by a father who was just like, listen, everyone complains about how girls are always wearing tiny skirts, blah, blah, blah. Fine, all of you. And mind you, this man had 12 children, 10 of which were female. So my grandfather had 10 daughters, and he was not about to start hearing issues about skirts and the lengths and blah, 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 blah. So he took all of them, went and took material, they were taken to a tailor, and they were pimishwad. So everyone alike, my uncles and my aunties, including my mom, everyone wore pants. Guys, walitengeneze wa matching trousers. So my grandfather pretty much taught my mom that even though she needs to be a respectable woman in society, that she didn't have to go through conventional means to get there. She's grown up with this whole thing for, she's a lady, but if she needs to, she can get down and dirty. You get what I mean? However, let's move on to my papa. My dad has been raised in the complete opposite. Complete opposite. He had a dad who was polygamous. There was the usual stories of, you know, one mom not liking the other mom's kids. There was even a story of witchcraft. As in, these two people who fell in love to make me have come from such varied backgrounds, but are choosing to build their home on principle of, we are doing it the way we know how, okay? But the way they know how brought me to life. And I'm very headstrong. I'm very opinionated. I'm very in your face. Okay? Very in your face. So, I'm being raised playing with dinosaurs, playing with dolls, doing puzzles. I'd play Monopoly with my father late into the night on Saturdays. In fact, I think Saturdays were my favorite day because it was family day. And family day included a couple of things. One, I'd go to the barbershop with my dad in the morning. And the reason I'd go to the barbershop with my dad in the morning, if anyone has met me, I mean, prior to my fan cut right now,
I, even with my cat, I have really big voluminous hair that's thick, okay? And in its natural form, it's if you're not prepared psychologically to deal with it, guys, let me just tell you, it's a struggle. Being a naturalista out here is real, but you know what? We fight the good fight. And my mom was not about to deal with that life. Kwanza, how it used to be for Afrikaans in here and out. It's a painful process. So she didn't deal. So from the age of 0 to 6, guys, me, I'm going to the barber shop, not at it to sit with my dad and keep him company. I'm also going for a shave. Like I'm going for a proper Jordan, right? But because my mom is who she is, I also had my ears pierced really early. So it was just my ritual with my father. But here comes the trick one day when my mom and dad are actually both taking me to the barber because we were going out for something that day. And as we are walking, my mom is left with me on the road as my dad has gone to get out of the kiosk. And a friend of my dad passes by on foot and he says hi to my mom, talks about my dad, and then asks my mom, "How's your little boy?" staring at me. Guys, listen. First of all, I am in a dungaree. Secondly, I am a chubby, round, cute ass little girl. But because I am shaven, they have decided that I am male. So my mother turns and looks at me and giggles and says, "That's my little girl. Her name is Wangari. You should say hello." And guys, in that moment, remember when I talked to you about my graceful defiance? This is who I learned it from. My mother, my beautiful, strong mother, who is literally talking back to my dad's friend in such a beautiful, angelic tone, with such poise. And all she says is she smiles, looks down at me, and says, "This is my lovely daughter. You should say hello. Her name is Wangari." Guys, this is a response to a guy who thought I was a boy just because my head was shaven. Do you understand the beauty and the finesse my mother has shown me how to use? Great. First lesson, right? We assume I've taken it into consideration. Anyway, fast track to the second part of our Saturday. Usually, mom probably go to the salon getting her nails done. My dad would then drive to a pub next to the house, which it wasn't really a bad idea. And he'd go for like a 1-2 drinks before we come home. So he'd do a 1-2 drinks. I'm usually in the car with him. So what happens is he'll park the car next to the pub, outside, next to the first window. And then when they'd go in, he'd leave the doors unlocked with me stayed in the front. And when they'd go in, he'd sit right next to the window. So he'd watch me from inside the pub as he was with his friends. And usually he'd sit down, and like 5 minutes later, our waitress would come out and walk to the car and ask me, "What will you drink? What happened to your Fanta?" And I'd nod my head. And she's like, "Nani, leche chips?" And I'd nod my head as well. So this became a ritual for my dad. We'd go to the barber shop, drop mom off at the salon. We'd go pass by the pub. He has 1-2 drinks. Me, I've had a Fanta. I've had chips. As in, by the time I'm even about to black out in the car, 2 hours later, my dad is back. He's fungered the doors. We are now driving home. We're either driving home with like a 1 kg of nyama that's not cooked, or 1 kg or 2 of nyama that's chomwad. Mom is already home by now. She's probably making lunch. And when we get home, it's now my dad will either grill or choma the nyama, or he'll kata-kata it up. Mom will have made ugali, which to date is her favorite dish. And we'd sit down, hang out, have lunch, stay a while, all have a nap. Then later on in the evening, we'd have either movie night or dance night. Now, guys, do you understand why Saturday is my favorite day of all time? Because I grew up from the age of, I think, 0 to 10, watching Saturdays manifest such beauty between my parents, in terms of their connection as a couple, and such beauty between my bond with my individual parents and both of them at the same time. It was the day where we had family time unbothered. So in the evening, we'd either all watch a movie, and half the time, my mom and dad would never be on the same page about the movie to watch, unless I've chosen the movie, and it has to be a thriller drama. But if it's dad's night, we're gonna watch James Bond. I believe I have watched all forms and manners of James Bond movies, all the way from Roger Moore to Sean Connery, all up until right now with Daniel Craig. Like, I've watched all of them, guys. And it's because my dad got me addicted when I was younger. Then with mom, It would always end up being something like The Bold and the Beautiful, or a weird drama about love and fundamentals of family. We used to watch Little House on the Prairie. Like, it was very, I'm educating you about and showing you what families used to look like, what they look like now. I need you to be exposed to see this. With my dad, it was, I just want fun times with you. And I don't care whether you're a girl or not. If it's an action flick, you're going to watch it. If you're chasing Monopoly, we're going to play. Like, he really grew me on principle of, as my child, just do whatever as long as it feels right. But, guys, remember, traditional people, they were raised in a very traditional time. I remember it was one of those days when something just felt off. And, guys, children are very perceptive. So at the age of 6, it's one of those Saturdays, we've gone to the barber with my dad. But when we left the house, he wasn't himself. He wasn't as happy as he usually was on Saturday. It didn't feel like a Saturday. Him and mom had had a tiff in the morning. And so I remember hearing arguing, but I didn't think it was that serious. And I thought, you know what? It's a Saturday. Of course it'll be fixed. It's a Saturday. And we went to the barbershop. Didn't go with mom. Left her behind, and then the pub. And I remember he just left me in the car. He didn't say goodbye. He didn't kiss my forehead the way he used to. And I remember watching him, and he didn't sit next to the window either this time. He went deep in, and I couldn't see my dad, and that scared me for the first time. And I remember getting out of the car and closing the door behind, but the window was open, so I assume in my brain that worked. And I walked into the pub. 6-year-old Wangari. Again, remember that Born to be Brave situation? This is why. I walk into that pub. It's about 1 p.m. And the usual waitress who would serve me was stood at the door and looked at me. I was like, oh, I didn't even know you were here. So she's trying to rush and pick me up and lift. And I'm like, Z, don't touch me, first of all. I don't know who you are. Secondly, boo, me, I'm a round chubby baby. You're not going to just lift me like that. It's going to be a tussle. Anyway, so I brushed past her. And I remember seeing my dad all the way inside the room, literally at the main bar. And he was talking to his boys and he was disgruntled. At least that's what it looked like. And then I remember one of the barmaids walked up to him and leaned in on his shoulder. And he turned, and I could have sworn in the beginning he wasn't interested. But she said something and he smiled and looked at her up and down and said, thank you, not today. But for me, that moment of him staring at another woman, the way I'd seen him stare at my mom, I think that's when I broke, at that very moment. So I saw it, and I mean, you couldn't put two and two together, but I was like, I see. And I walked towards them. So I'm just at that woman. He saw me. He was like, oh, okay, you've come out of the car. He picked me up. He's like, this is my daughter. His boy said hi. And he did the first thing and the last thing I ever wanted him to do. And he said, hi, this is Wangari. She's 6. As you can see, she's so pretty. Let me tell you guys, she's my Pajero. And guys, this is the first time my worth was equated to something material. Okay. So in hindsight, I look back and I'm like, 3 things happened this time. Actually, 4. I've watched my mom gracefully defy his friend and speak back to him. I have watched them have a tiff in the morning. That's ended up with my father being upset. Then I've watched my dad look a woman up and down and smile and stare at her the way he'd stare at my mom. And then I've watched and listened to him accrue my worth to a car. Now, I don't know whether it was just Jesus. I don't know whether it's just my personality. If it is, then mom and dad, your gene pool just put someone together who was so readily able to say, no, this doesn't work. I'm out. I'm checking out. And so I get home and again, things are off. And so we walk into the house. My dad has brought Nyama home. But as soon as we check into through the gate, my mom opens the door and just starts going at it with my dad. And I'm just like, what's up with these energies? But Later on, I find out my mom had found something that triggered her. This is a story for another episode. So they're going off on each other, they're shouting at each other. I'm still seated in the car. And my dad had opened the gate and driven into the garage parking. So I get out, and my mom and him are ending the fight, and she storms off. And my dad starts shouting at her, "You know what? I'm even leaving the child. Me, I've gone back to the pub. Just ensure when I come back, my food is ready." He shouted that out loud. And I remember looking at him and just thinking, so, first of all, I've gotten a raw deal with today. I didn't have my Fanta and chips. Then I watched you look at another woman. Then you made me feel like all I am worth is a Pajero. Wow. And now you're abandoning us to go back to the pub. And mind you, I didn't even have an idea of what the fight was about. I was just like, no. This is not happening. So he's like, "Bye, Wangari." And I tell him, I'm like, "Don't tell me bye." And he looks at me and is like, "This child must be crazy. Have you just shouted at your father?" And he looks at me and is like, "What did you say?" I'm like, "No, don't tell me bye. You cannot tell me bye. You're going to wreck our Saturday and go back to the pub." And he looks at me and is like, "This child must be mad." And I remember thinking all these crazy things for this man is just disappointing me. I don't get what it is. He's going to leave me with an unhappy mom and go back to the club. And I was like, this is madness. At 6 years old, guys. And he was like, "You know, you're becoming very sensitive. Let's just not even talk about it." And I was like, "Don't say anything." And I stormed off. And guys, in that one moment, I had my first fit of feminism. I had my first bout. I had my first show that as a woman, I want equal opportunity for me and my people. At 6 years old, guys, me, I decided, no, I'm not going to stand for any traditional BS. I'm not going to stand for the patriarchy. No, I want what I want. Me and my mom respected. And I stood up against my father. We had dinner, guys, without my father. We watched a movie. And I was hurriedly put into bed when we had the car hoot outside and then my father was coming home. And this was the first time my father came home drunk, like drunk. And it wasn't funny, but it's fine. We'll talk about it later in the next episode. And we went to bed. I remember my mom slept with me in my bed that day and she locked the door behind her, and I remember feeling safe, but I remember feeling her trembling. And at that age, I didn't know how to compute. But I knew for sure that I was not made to be a woman who doesn't understand the opportunities given to her or the rights that she has. Nah, boo. Nah. Remember, I was born to be brave, yeah? So I ran toward the unimaginable. I ran toward fear. I run toward things that make me feel uncomfortable because I want to rise above them. So I do remember when I first showed my feminism side. And to all the women out there, feminism isn't something that says you're anti-men. It's not. It's just fighting for the equal opportunities between sexes. I am very aware, guys, let me tell you now, I'm very aware that even to settle down with a homie, you have to be a certain type of sensitive man to understand that I want equal opportunity. And I'm going to have to be an equally strong and warm but ladylike woman who knows how to articulate myself to him in a way that still shows him he's respected and taken care of, so that he understands that equality does not mean he's any less than I am. But it also doesn't mean he is more than I am. We are equals. And women out there, if you're like me trying to find a balance between how to be quote-unquote a good girl in society while still fighting for all equal opportunities career, all equal opportunities hobbies, all equal opportunities businesses, then babe, I got you. We got you. There's many women out there fighting for positions that have never been had by women. There's many women out there fighting for value systems. There's many women out there fighting for the world in general to restore it, and it can only be done by them going into waters that have not been charted before. So if you're a babe out there, trying your best to be the biggest, baddest boss bee, then girl, do you. We're rooting for you. We're marching for you. We're screaming at the top of our lungs for you, babe. Don't you worry. I'm only on my first fit of feminism, but I got you. This is Karyatis on CCLE Me episode 2. If you've just joined us, please feel free to subscribe. We're on YouTube, we're on SoundCloud, we're on Anchor, soon to be on iTunes and Spotify. Thank you for listening. Remember to be sincerely you. I choose you, choose the one who made you. Be true to you, boo. See you on episode 3.